morning, Midland First. It is a joy and a privilege to be with you this morning as we gather for worship. What a gift it is to be together to worship the living God. We have a few announcements for you this morning. I have an announcement for you about our Church Chart Conference that will be 2 weeks from today at Hope UMC at 2:30 in the afternoon. And when we gather there, we'll get to vote on some different things, some different business of the church. And so I invite you to plan to attend that 2 weeks from now at 2:30 at Hope UMC. We have another announcement from Nathan Snyder about our chime choir.
Good morning, church. I hold in my hand an instrument called a hand chime. If you've ever thought to yourself, I wonder how those people up here play all those bells and chimes, now is your opportunity to learn. Anybody who's in fourth grade or older, that includes teenagers, young adults, young family parents, middle-aged folks, retirees, the elderly, anybody who's in fourth grade or older, if you've ever wanted to learn how to play hand chimes, you do not need to know how. In fact, we are encouraging those of you who have never done it or might be very new to try this experience. We are starting on September the 28th. We're going to do it after church. Guess what? You're already here. Just stay a little bit longer. Ring some hand chimes. Learn a little bit about music. Put a simple song together, and then we're going to play it in church on November the 2nd. If you are interested, please email me. It is nsnyder@fumcmid.org. If you don't remember that and you already deleted your eBlast and you don't know how to access your deleted folder, just call the church, talk to Emily, give her your name, your phone number, your email. She'll get that information to me. But I would love to see lots of people, kids and adults, who want to come out and learn a little bit about hand chimes and play a nice simple song in church. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nathan. And we also have an announcement from Nancy Peeler about our 75th anniversary celebration.
Good morning, church. Back in the 1940s, our congregation had quite a challenge ahead of it. It was outgrowing the church that they were in. They had purchased additional properties around that church to spread their operations out, their office, the Sunday school, and they were outgrowing those facilities as well. And thus was the dream of a new church born. They did a lot of work during the 1940s to raise funds. They had a lot of successes, quite a few setbacks, but finally in September of 1950, they realized the dream of opening this new sanctuary that we're in. And a week from today, we are going to have a special Sunday morning worship service celebrating the 75th anniversary of the first service to be held in this sanctuary. Our service next week will be mostly the same service of consecration that they held in 1950, so it'll be a little bit different than the services that we have today. We are happy to say that some of our past clergy are returning for this special service, and we hope that you will come, bring your family, bring your friends. This is going to be a special day for us. After the service, we'll have some time for fellowship, followed by a chicken dinner in honor of the many Methodist chicken dinners that were held to raise funds to build this church. We are asking for your RSVP for the luncheon so we can make sure we have enough food. The RSVPs are due tomorrow, September 15th, and they will start shopping after that. There's a QR code in your bulletin, and they are either in the pews or the ushers may have been handing out cards that you could use to sign up that you could just drop in the offering plate today. You can also call the office tomorrow to RSVP. After lunch, we have a few activities planned. We'll be hosting kind of an I Spy type game to get you moving through the building and explore and learn a little bit more about the building. That will be set up for anybody who wants to participate, but will be appropriate for families. And then at 1:15 and 2 o'clock, we'll be hosting a couple of tours to talk about kind of the history of the building, the architect, and the architecture. We are looking for just a few more volunteers. If you're willing to help bake some cookies for the luncheon, you could drop those off before the church service in the kitchen. And in advance, we just want to thank everybody who's offered to help, and we're looking forward to celebrating with you next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. That will be a beautiful celebration. And then Pastor Jamie has some announcements for us as well this morning.
Thank you. Good morning. do have several announcements for you this morning. First, I'll lead with Neighboring Week, which is coming up here in our community. That will be September 28th through October 4th. And during this time, we are encouraging you as our congregation to come alongside the Midland Area Community Foundation and others within our Midland community in fostering a sense of connectedness among one another. As a reminder, as part of this effort as a church, we are assembling neighboring treat bags to be distributed among our neighbors around the church, and for you to take home on Sunday, September 28th, to share with your neighbors. If you wish to contribute to the bags, the deadline for dropping off your individually wrapped snacks, either salty or sweet, is due tomorrow also, September 15th. Encourage you to drop off treats that are peanut-free so that all can enjoy these treats. And also, as part of highlighting Neighboring Week here in Midland, we might have a guest preacher on this day, a neighbor of ours that might be familiar to many. So encourage you to keep an eye on your e-blast as we work out those final details. Also, a note about today's service. We will be conducting our church's annual fire drill today. The drill will be conducted in between the prayer of dedication, which is after our doxology, and before the scripture reading. During the drill, those of us in the sanctuary will remain in place as our children who are in Sunday school will be escorted by their teachers to their designated area on the corner of Fitzhugh and Larkin Street. In the event of an actual alarm, parents of children in the nursery would exit first, using the front poolside exit to pick up their children from the nursery. Next, those remaining in the sanctuary would exit onto Main Street using the exit at the back of the sanctuary. And during this time, children who are in Sunday school, much like today, will be escorted to their designated area again at the corner of Fitzhugh and Larkin Street, where their parents are asked to pick them up from that place. We do thank you for your cooperation today and in the event of an actual alarm during service. Finally, I want to draw your attention to the back of our bulletin this morning, for it is with gratitude for his ministry among us that we announce that Tyler Morris will conclude his ministry as Choral Program Director at Midland First, effective October 13th. Tyler has accepted the opportunity to serve as a music director at Faith Lutheran Church in Saginaw. We are thankful for all the ways that Tyler has enriched our congregation and the church's music ministries since joining the staff December of 2023. Indeed, Tyler will be missed. Tyler has been instrumental in introducing our choral scholar program, in helping build our next-gen concert series, and creating a sense of community within our church choir. We celebrate all that Tyler has contributed to the life of our church and rejoice in this new opportunity that God has provided for him. A staff luncheon will be held in his honor and to celebrate his ministry in the coming weeks. We also invite you to express your appreciation to Tyler during this time also, as we send him off with our gratitude and prayers for his next chapter of ministry. Along with an intentional transitional period, the Strategic Leadership Council, through an ad hoc hiring committee, will actively work to fill this position. For questions, I invite you to contact Ellen Talbot or Brad Barr, who serve as our SLC chair and vice chair. Also invite you to be in touch with Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our music director, or myself. Friends, I know these transitions are difficult, but this is also a part of who we are as a church. that we want to be in ministry with one another for a season, but we also want to be a church that is continuing to equip others to serve the larger church even beyond us. And so we celebrate this time of ministry that Tyler has had with us. We also pray God's blessings upon him, upon Faith Lutheran Church, upon our chancel choir, for whom this is a transition, upon our church as we walk through this season now and in between. So I invite you to be mindful of that as we enter this time together. Finally, I want to absolutely, if we can express our welcome. Our gratitude. I trust we will find ways to do that in the weeks to come as well. Finally, just want to make note that I will be away from the church next week. I will be attending a retreat for pastors and other leaders. This retreat is aimed to revitalize and to bring renewal of culture within pastors. Imagine that we need that too, but also that we might bring that to the churches we serve. So I will be away next week. Certainly Pastor Bethany will be here. Invite you to be in touch with the church office if you need to. And all the plans are for me to be here on time for our 75th celebration as well, so I'm looking forward to that day, but want you to be mindful of my presence away from the church in the coming week. With all that, I'll hand it back to Pastor Bethany.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Good morning. Please remain standing as you are able and join me in the call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin and on the screen. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his indignation in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our Lord, our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Brothers and sisters, that is what we are going to do right now. I invite you to remain standing for our first song, Across the Lands.
From before the world began, every star.
be seated.
And let's have the kids come up. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Hi, guys. Come on up. It's nice to see all your faces this morning. For the next couple weeks, we're going to be hearing stories that Jesus told called parables. Parables are simple stories that teach us things Jesus wants us to know about God's love and care. Today, we're going to hear about a lost sheep. It seems like we're always hearing about sheep and a lost coin. I wonder what we'll learn about God. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for treasured things like coins and animals and rings. Thank you, God, for all you do to bring the lost back home to you. Amen.
There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of
As we continue in worship, we do take this time to share in the giving of our tithes and our offerings to God. As we share in this time, I invite you to take the red friendship pads, whether you're a guest with us this morning or whether you are a longtime member. If you'll let us know of your presence here, we certainly do appreciate it. If you're online and joining us on YouTube or on Facebook, invite you to wave hello to us in the comment section as well. If you are a guest today, we do invite you to sit back and perhaps consider the blessings that God is pouring into your lives. If you are a member or friend of this congregation, we do thank you for all you do to support the ministries of this church, whether through the giving of gifts or your time or your talents, we thank you today. Let us continue to delight in our giving back to God. May the ushers please come forward.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as the offering is brought forward. Today we are going to sing the doxology a cappella.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here.
Almighty God, indeed we thank you, for we are among the ones who the heavens have rejoiced. We pray your blessings upon these gifts, O Lord, that others might know the joy of being found. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Today I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us join together in prayer. God, may the meditation of my lips and all the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The night before my first chemistry test in 10th grade, I lost a note card that had the periodic table printed on it and various other formulas. We were allowed to use this note card during our test, and I remember very well thinking that I might have just failed the test because I lost the card. Neither science nor math are a strong suit of mine. I majored in Bible and theology in college, but if I had not done so, I probably would have majored in English. I recognize that there might be many of you in this room and perhaps watching online who love math, and I recognize its importance and that it's important to do our best. I have a friend who is a computational mathematics major, and she loves what she does. It goes way over my head, but I love that for her. All that to say, I struggled in math and science. And I tell you this because when I think about the night before my chemistry test, the reason it sticks in my brain is because I had to work very, very hard to do well in chemistry and in math. And when I read our passage for today, it resonates with me because I know what it is to search for something long and hard that I desperately want to find. Certainly, there are many more, much more valuable things in the world than a card with some formulas and the periodic table on it. And it would not have been the end of the world if I had not done well on that test, but I was bound and determined to do all that I could to look for that card because it meant a lot to me to be able to use it on that test. And I'm sure we all have something similar to think about. I'm sure we all have similar stories, whether it's a test, or maybe it's the last time that you lost your keys. Whatever it is that these parables bring to mind for you, they're relatable for all of us. Jesus told these stories as a way of relating to those whom he was preaching to. He told them so that those who were listening could relate, and the Holy Spirit would work in such a way that he would draw them into God's own life. That's what the Holy Spirit does, among other things. He draws us in to God's own life. And in part by doing so, by way of reminding us of what Jesus has already taught. And he does that in a variety of ways in our life today. And part of what's so important about reading scripture is that he reminds us of what Jesus has taught. When we look at these two parables, in particular, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, they tell us something about God. They tell us about the beauty of being found. Julian of Norwich is a woman who is known as the first English female writer. She is someone who wrote what is called the Revelations of Divine Love, which was published about 650 years ago, and it is known as the first work to have been recorded in English. Once she was quoted as saying, "Never does love's compassionate eye turn from us. Never does love's compassionate eye turn from us." We see this in scripture in Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." We serve a God who never leaves or forsakes us. The one whom the angels, when they speak of him on the third day after Jesus was crucified and had arisen, they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He has risen, just as he said." The parables that Jesus tells in Luke, he tells because the Pharisees are concerned about purity laws and about what it means for Jesus to be a rabbi and to be eating with those who are unclean. And so Jesus tells these parables. And these parables he tells so that they won't just be heard only once, but so that we can hear them. And so they speak not only of who God is, but of who he has always been. The living God, the one true God who goes after us, who took on flesh to seek and to save the lost, because he wants nothing more than for us to be in relationship with him. Perhaps you've heard these parables and thoughts, but there's 99 sheep there. He's leaving to go find one. Surely the woman must have other coins, and this one won't make much of a difference. Scholars estimate that one coin, or those coins that the woman was searching for, would have been about a day's wages. But even more so, these parables make a difference because salvation is personal. Redemption is personal as much as it is for us all. A friend shared with me recently about a painting that deeply moves her. She and I were talking about life and faith, and I needed some encouragement. And so she showed me this painting, and I believe we have a picture of it. She said, in the more common or more traditional version, Jesus is standing on the bronze gates of Hades that have been thrown down. They lie in the form of a cross in this photograph. And he is raising up Adam and Eve while looking at the viewer. She said, this one completely pierced me, though. The locked gaze between Jesus and Adam. Jesus sees Adam in all that he has suffered. He is bending down, going in search of his lost and hurting lamb. My heart receives the truth that redemption is personal. It's not just some cosmic thing. Every wound that we have will be healed. And Eve, standing off to the side, in the right on the photograph, already rescued from her tomb, she's seeing Adam, whom she could not save, being rescued and healed. All the pain we've caused, all the pain we've witnessed, all will be redeemed ultimately. This is the beauty of being found. It's not failing to acknowledge that there is something out of place, something that needs to be corrected. Repentance from sin is necessary. It's necessary for taking hold of the good news that Christ has for us, that he has come for our salvation. Repentance is necessary because our God is holy and set apart. And that's who we are called to be, holy as he is holy. As Christians, all are called to this, but as United Methodists, our heritage is steeped in the holiness movement, this seeking the Lord and turning from our sins with all our hearts in such an intentional way. John Wesley put forth some very distinct ways to do that. The beauty of these two parables and the one that follows, which is the parable of the prodigal son, is that the Lord sees everything, and he knows everything about us. He knows when we rejoice. He knows when we are in sorrow. He knows everything. And yet he comes after us. He intentionally seeks us out because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And again, we are not outside of his presence. It's not that he is unaware at any given time and then made aware. But he is always, always speaking his love over us and calling us to himself. God loves us so much that one matters to him. He loves us so much that, like the widow, he will do anything and everything he can to call us back to himself. But we get to choose. We have the free will to say no to him if we choose. Because love is free, and it cannot be forced on another. Did you catch the response of repentance in what Jesus said? In verse 7, in our passage today, he said, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And then in verse 10, he says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." That is not to say that some of us don't need repentance. We all do. None of us are better than another. But how beautiful is it that even the angels rejoice when we turn towards God from another way? How beautiful. How beautiful because of what that tells us about God. Again, none of us is perfect, certainly not me. There's been many times that the Lord has left the 99 for me, has swept the house for me, harder than I ever looked for that chemistry formula sheet, because he wants me. He wants you. He wants us all. And he knows us all. Part of what I find so beautiful about that painting is that Jesus looks at Adam. He sees and he knows him. At any given moment, we are never outside of God's presence. He never loses track of us, but in his love, he will never force us to choose him. He will allow us to go our own way because his mercy and justice go hand in hand. And his mercies are new every morning. It's why redemption and salvation are personal. Because even though God took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ for everyone in the whole world, even if it was just for you or just for me alone, he would do it all over again. He would have come just for one and suffered just the same. That is how much our God loves us. That's why repentance, still a sacrifice, is worth it, because sin separates us from God. But why would we ever want to be separated from a God who will stop at nothing to tell us how much he loves us? That's why I love Psalm 73, verses 24 through 26 so much. It says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me with honor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." We were made to love God and to serve him. We never have to be afraid of what he asks of us. Though the cost of discipleship is expensive, the cost of discipleship is everything, our whole selves. In return, he gives us his very self. That's why we don't have to be afraid to be found. We don't have to be afraid to be seen fully and known fully as Adam is in this painting. Because the one who wants us to know what it's like to be found and to be seen and to be wholly known is mercy itself. In turning to him, we understand who we have always been created to be, and to be in relationship with Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And that's why we never have to be afraid of true truth and coming to see our sins for what they are. Because there is mercy there just the same, and that covers all of our sin. And so I want to ask you to contemplate, what's that thing that you're searching for today? What's that thing that you desire so deeply that you would give anything, anything to find? Is it peace? Is it hope? Is it joy? Is it something else? Whatever it is, don't be afraid to surrender to Jesus. Don't be afraid to let go of what you need to let go of. He's the good shepherd, and he leads the sheep wherever they need to go. They are never lost or unfulfilled in his arms. We are never lost or fulfilled in his arms. How beautiful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And now we come to a time of prayer together. As we pray, I invite you to reflect on the ways that the Lord has met you in your life. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for who you are, that you are a God who is alive, that you never miss an opportunity to call us back to you, and that your mercy covers all of our sin. Give us ears to hear your voice. Give us eyes to see your beauty all around us. Thank you that hearing you and seeing you is something we can count on if we are searching for you. When we search for you, we will find you if we search with our whole hearts. Help us to know your love and your presence so strongly that in turn, we call others back to you as your hands and feet. Lord, we love you. Be with those who are lost and hurting today. Be with all those who are grieving today. In this town, in our state, in our country, and our world. Lord, if we have seen the news, we know many are grieving today. And that hearts are breaking everywhere. Jesus, you are fully God and fully human at the same time. You know how much pain there is in the world. Let your peace and your hope rest upon it today. Everywhere. Help us to proclaim through our words and our actions the good news that we have from you, the beauty of being close to you and being found by you. Help us to turn from our ways that are not of you and to lean into you, into your arms, and to come alongside those who are hurting in any way, shape, or form, so that it is you who they see in us. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and you will indeed redeem all things, even the most painful things. Help us to wait for our redemption in its fullness with courage. Help us to press on towards the goal and to lean deeper and deeper into you with each passing day. Give us the strength and the grace to walk in your ways and to rejoice at the hope that we have in you. We love you, living God, and we thank you for the privilege that it is to pray anytime, and that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we end our service today singing "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone." I will warn you, these are well-loved words to a hymn that we know, but it's the contemporary version, so there's a little bit of syncopation that you'll catch on to very quickly.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I once
was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Twas grace
that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
How precious
did that grace appear. As long.
are forever mine.
Friends, we are never outside of God's presence, and indeed, He is ours, and we are His. Go today knowing that redemption and salvation are personal. Jesus came for all of us, but He would have come just for you, because He loves you that much. Go and reflect on that and carry that into the world this week. I guarantee there are many others who need to hear it. Go in peace and the love of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.